Okay, today's daf is Menachos daf Samach Dalid. We left off on daf Samach Gimel Amud Beis. We had started the parak of Rabbi Yishmael yesterday. Rabbi Yishmael's shita was that when you're bringing the Karban Omer on Shabbos, you would use Shalosh Se'in, but on Chol you would use Chamesh Se'in, meaning how much barley would you take for the Karban Omer? Would you harvest in order to bring the Karban Omer? Would depend whether it's Shabbos or a weekday, according to Rabbi Yishmael. On Shabbos you would use a lesser amount, because why do more malacha on Shabbos? So we get away with the least possible, and with three se'in, as long as you do a lot of rikud of the flour, you can come up with fine enough flour to bring the Karban Omer, as opposed to during the weekday, we make your life a little bit easier, but you harvest more so that you can come to the proper amount of flour. So now the Gemara is going to suggest a series of a couple of Tanaim who maybe we think line up with Rabbi Yishmael. So we are holding 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 lines from the bottom of the page. Amar Rabba. So Amar Rabba, Rabbi Shmuel, ben Oshel, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, Amru Davar Echad. Rabbi Shmuel actually says the same thing as Rabbi Shmuel ben Oshel, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, that even though it's in a different context, he seems to hold of Rabbi Shmuel's Shita. How so? D'tanya, Arbos, Rosh Chalios b'Shabbos, if Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, Mavshit es ha-Pesach ad ha-Chazah, Divrei Rabbi Shmuel ben Oshel, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha. Rabbi Shmuel ben Oshel, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha says you cannot skin the entire Karban Pesach when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, and you're doing the skinning obviously on Shabbos. You can only do it ad achaza, until the breast of the animal, because that's all you need in order to get the parts of the animal out of the animal. So the rest of it is unnecessary, and you can't do any more than necessary. And what the Gemara is going to try to say over here is that just like Rabbi Yishmael in our Mishnah says, only take three se'in of barley in order to bring the Karban Omer when it's Shabbos, because you can't do any more than necessary. So Rabbi Shmuel ben Oshel Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha also says you can't do any more than necessary. But v'chachamim amrim ad sheyafshit es kulo. The chachamim say no, you're allowed to skin the entire animal even when Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos. So says the Gemara. The Gemara spells it out. Milo amr Rabbi Shmuel ben Oshel Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha asam kol hecha de'efshar lo tarchinan. Just like by the skinning of the Karban Pesach, Rabbi Shmuel ben Oshel Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha holds that as long as it's possible to do your job without doing extra malacha, so you don't do extra malacha, so here too Rabbi Shmuel holds the same thing, that since it's possible to do your job without doing extra malacha, so take three se'in of barley and not five se'in, and do the job without doing any extra Malacha. That's how the two line up. Says the Gemara, not necessarily, they don't necessarily agree with each other though. In concept, in theory, their theories are the same, but they don't necessarily agree with each other in practice, in each other's cases. Mimai, Dilma ad kan lo kam Rabbi Shmuel hacha, ela deleka bizayin kachim. Maybe Rabbi Shmuel says over here, you might as well, that we try to minimize the amount of work that you do, because it's not, you're not losing anything by doing that. It's just a little bit more work, but you're not going to cause bizayin kachim. But if you partially skin an animal, that's a big bizayin to kachim, to be left it partially skinned. Aval hasam deika bizayin kachim, as Rashi says, chetzio mufshat, va'omed kach ad alayla, v'dama kinevela, you leave it like something that's been cast aside, like you would in a vela, where it's half skinned, half not skinned. So maybe Rabbi Shmuel would say, Emelach Rabbanan Svirle. Maybe he would say, I don't agree with Rabbi Shmuel ben Oshel Rabbi Yochanan Baruch over there. I would say, like the Rabbanan, you better skin the whole animal in order not to leave Kachim Mutal Bibizayon. Inami Adkan no kamer Rabbi Shmuel ben Oshel Rabbi Yochanan Baruch Hasam, Elodis Avadai Tzarech Kavoa, Velo Tzarech Achule Shabbos. And on the flip side, Rabbi Shmuel ben Oshel Rabbi Yochanan Baruch says, you're only allowed to partially skin the Karban Pesach, might say that you're supposed to harvest more than three se'in, that you're supposed to harvest the five se'in for the Karban Omer, because he might say that when do I tell you to minimize the Chil Shabbos? It's when you've already done everything you need to do for the Mizbeach, for bringing the Karban. So there's no sense in me Mechal Shabbos further. But over here, you're still in the process of securing that which you need for the Karban. So if that's still considered Tzorach Kavod, meaning by the Karban Omer, if you harvest three Se'in, so you're not done yet. If you by harvesting five Se'in, it's still part of the process of securing that which is necessary L'Tzorach Gavoa. Not only part of the process, but you're actually going to end up with something better L'Gavoa. You're going to end up with a higher quality item to bring for your Karban. As opposed to by the animal, the parts are going to be the same. Whether you cut it out of Chazah, you cut it, or you're mafshid all the way, the parts are going to be the same. Over here, the flour is going to be a higher quality flour if you sift it down from a greater quantity of grain to begin with. Fine. So this machlokas Rabbi Shmuel ben Rosh, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, and the Chachamim, whether you skin it from only up until the breast, or you skin the entire animal. The reason the Chachamim allow skinning the entire animal is explained in Maseches Shabbos on Daf Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara says either Kedesh Lo Yasriach Habasar, so that the meat shouldn't spoil, because the longer the skin is on the animal, the skin has a tendency to make the meat warmer and more susceptible to becoming spoiled, and it's not the proper kavod to have a pras ochle shulchano magul, to have a piece of a carbon left disgusting. That's one reason the Gemara gives. Or shloye kachi shemay mutalim kinevela, that like we saw Rashi quoted over here, that you just don't want kachin mutalim kinevela. You don't want them lying out there looking like they're a discarded piece of meat like a nevela would be. And the Gemara says, what's the nafkamina between the two reasons? Let's say you put it on a shulchan of zahav, where it's obviously not mutal kinevela because it's obviously being treated in a very respected way, even though it's minei ubei, it looks like a discarded piece of meat. But once you put it in a place derech kavod, in a kavodik place, so that shows that you're treating it not like a nevela, but the concern of shema yasriach certainly still exists. Another nafkamina the Gemara says, where there's a ruach tzfonis that blows that causes cooling, and it's like a refrigeration, so it will save it from spoiling. So in terms of shloye kachishmei mutalim benevela, so you should still skin the rest of the animal, but if you hold about the but if your concern is that of spoiling, so then there would be no concern. So in Maseches Shabbos, the girsa of in the words of the Chachamim is v'chacham mamre mafshitin es kulo, not ad shiavshit es kulo, but mafshitin es kulo. But anyway, the Chassam Sofer writes in Maseches Shabbos, according to our girsa, you don't take the emurim out until you do the hafshata. Our girsa is ad shiavshit es kulo. Don't remove the insides of the animal until the gemar, until you finish doing the skinning. So, because if you take, why would we insist on that? Because if you take the emurim out, once it's only skinned to the breast, then you wouldn't be allowed to skin the rest of the way, because the gemara hefshet is not docha Shabbos, it's not really the tzorach hakarban. Meaning, once you start the hefshet, so good, you can finish the hefshet, and then take out the emurim. And the entire act of hefshet, the entire act of skinning, is considered the tzorach the emurim. But if you went halfway, then you took out the emurim already, well, how can you go back and do the hefshet again? But according to the girsa in Maseches Shabbos, Chassam Sofer says, where the girsa of the Gemara is mafshitin es kulo, sounds like according to Rabbi Shmuel, if you stopped in the middle and took out the emurim, that you would not be chozer mafshit. But the Chachamim would say that you can be mafshitin es kulo even after you took out the emurim. You can be chozer mafshit. So that's what the Chassam Sofer. It seems like the same machlokas, but Chassam Sofer notes the slight difference in language may relate to the halacha of what you can do if you've already removed the emurim. Can you continue with the skinning? So the Chassam Sofer makes the unsurprising connection, the very obvious connection between this and tzitzin hama'akvin. The Chassam Sofer points out that the reason that we allow you to take out the emurim after your mafshit the up until the chazer is because there's reason makdim in the mitzvahs. The svara to say that you should take out the emurim when you're only partially mafshit the animal is because you want to be zariz, you want to take out those parts as fast as possible. However, he says this is tali in that machlokas and Maseches Shabbos whether we are chazer for tzitzin she'in ma'akvin es amila in ba'ufen shapirish, when you already stop doing the mila. There's certain parts of the mila that you have to cut. Certain pieces of skin must be cut. Those are the tzitzin hama'atvinas hamila. Other parts that don't need to be cut, but for either mitzvah, we cut them. So when you're doing a mila on Shabbos, of course you're allowed to cut everything. You're allowed to cut the tzitzin hama'atvin, tzitzin she'en hama'atvin, fine. What if you cut the tzitzin hama'atvin, you cut that which is absolutely necessary, and then you're piresh, then you stop. Can you go back now and do a new maisa of cutting the tzitzin she'en mak v'mesamila, which is only going to be a kiyum of zekeli v'anveyu? So that's a machlokas. So says the Chasam Sofer that if you go back for tzitzin mak v'mesamila, she'en mak v'mesamila, because of zekeli v'anveyu, so then the din over here would be that you're allowed to stop, take out the emurim, and go back to finish off the skinning. That's just zekeli v'anveyu, but you're allowed to go back for zekeli v'anveyu. But if you hold that you're not chozer for tzitzin shein makvin asamila, even though it's a kiyum of zekeli vanveyu, so too, you can't stop in the middle of the skinning, take out the emurim, and then go do a new maisat shata on Shabbos, just for zekeli vanveyu. It's totally completely on that machlokas. That's the Chasam Sofer. Also notable over here, if you look at Tosos on the bottom of Samach Gimlin Beis, the last Tosos, toward the end he says, V'lav davka nakat halcha Pesach. This whole machlokas over here is not only about a carbon Pesach per se, the Bekol carbon Sibur Shal Shabbos, Hava Matzi Lashmi Inan. This machlokas could have been mentioned about any carbon Sibur being brought on Shabbos. But nakat Pesach l'rabusa, afal pishi yesh psach merubin v'nir mutalin k'nevela. The reason we mention Pesach, carbon Pesach specifically, is to tell me an extra chiddush that even though there are so many Karbanos Pesach, and the whole Klal Yisrael had to bring Karban Pesach, and therefore it might seem more like it's just being left mutal kinevela. So to tell me afal pikein, it's still a machlokas. Not everyone agrees that you're allowed. The Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch would still say you're only allowed to skin it up until the breast. Inami or mishum rabusa drabanan. Maybe he's coming to tell me a chiddush within the rabbanan that filu tzarich yachid itiru that a Karban Pesach, which each individual Karban Pesach is only for a select group of people, it's not for the entire tzibur, and even for that we were matir, even though it's only to skin the whole thing. Maybe that's the chiddush. Inami dafka bepesach shar rabbanan dechashu shlo yiskal kal abasar mishum diikar lachilo. Or maybe Tosa says maybe the machlokas only applies by Karban Pesach, because maybe only by Karban Pesach the rabbanan are mekel to skin the whole thing, because we're very sensitive about maintaining the freshness of a Karban Pesach, since the Iker Mitzvah of Karban Pesach is Achila, as opposed to other Karbanos, even those that have parts that are Ne'echal, the Iker Mitzvah is not about Achila, and therefore we would be less sensitive about maintaining the freshness of the meat. But anyway, the Achronim point out that Tosus clearly, when he says that this isn't only about Karban Pesach, it's about other Karbanos at Tzibur that are brought on Shabbos as well, is clearly not referring to the Karban Tamid and the Musaf that's brought on Shabbos, because on those karbanos, everyone would agree that you're supposed to be mafshet the entire or. Because when it comes to a karban ola, the Torah says that you have to be mafshet the entire or of a karban ola, and then be maktir the basar. What Tosus means is karbanos tzibur that are eaten, where we say that like the seir shel Rosh Chodesh, which is a chatos, not an ola, or the seir regalim, which parts of it get eaten. We're not talking about a karban ola. Karban ola, it would be a davar pashut that you're mafshet the or in its entirety. So that's the ha'ara the Achronim have within Tosos. Okay, next stage the Gemara says, we failed in attempting to line up Rabbi Shmuel with the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch, but maybe Rabbi Shmuel's sheet aligns up with somebody else. Amar Rabbi, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Chanina Sagan HaKohanim. Amar Dover Echad, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Chanina Sagan HaKohanim actually line up well with each other. Ditnan, Rabbi Chanina Sagan HaKohanim Omer, B'Shabbos, Niktzar B'Yachid, B'Magal Echad, U'B'Kupa Achas, U'B'Chol B'Shalosha, B'Shalosh Kupos, U'B'Shalosh Magalos. That in our Mishnah we said that according to Rabbi Chanina Sagan HaKohanim, when you do the Ktsiras HaOmer on Shabbos, you only send one guy out with one harvesting utensil and one basket to put all the grain into, but when you do it on a weekday, you send three guys out to do all the work. The Chamar Mechad Shabbos Echad B'Shalosh Kupos B'Shalosh Magalos, and the Chamar say no, Shabbos or a weekday, same amount of people, same amount of utensils. So Milo Chamar Rabbi Chanina Sagan HaKohanim, Karnim Hasam Kivin Daf Shalot Tarchina. And so what's behind Rabbi Chanina's Gano Karnim Shita? It's that if you can get it done with less malacha, meaning fewer people doing malacha, so get it done with less malacha. So Hachanami, that's exactly Rabbi Shmuel's Shita in the first line of the Mishnah, that Kivin Daf Shalot Tarchina, and that if you can get it done by harvesting three se'in of flour instead of three se'in of barley instead of five, so do three and not five, that you're mimma'it as much as possible in the Chil Shabbos. So don't they line up exactly? Says Gemara, no, mimai. Dilma ad kan lo kamer Rabbi Shmuel hacha edel ella deleka persume milsa. Maybe the reason Rabbi Shmuel says to cut less grain is because no one will know the difference if you cut less grain or more grain. Aval hasan dika persume milsa, but by sending out larger numbers of people to do the Ktzira Sa'omer, so that's a great Kiddush Hashem that people are going to do this mitzvah. So that creates a greater sense of pirsum. Same with Rabbanan Svirule. Maybe you'd hold like the Rabbanan that even on Shabbos you don't want to sacrifice the beauty of the karban and of the people knowing about the karban, the pirsum of the karban, to minimize the Chol Shabbos. Maybe you would agree that you don't minimize the Chol Shabbos in that situation. It's more important to be mefarsein. Inami ad kan lo kam Rabbi Chanina segan akonim hasam di ibechad ibeshlosh atzor kavah mesavid kil chaso. Or maybe Rabbi Chanina segan akonim would not agree with Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Chanina segan akonim says, what difference does it make if you send out one person, you send out three people? The job will get done. It might take three times as long when one person is doing it, but the job will be done in the same way. He's going to bring you back the same grain and your carbon's going to look exactly the same. So that's why it's not worth having extra people being Mechal Shabbos, because at the end of the day, the carbon's going to be no better for it. But in Rabbi Shmuel's case, of how much grain you're actually cutting, well, the carbon's going to be very different. Where you're not going to have the ideal high quality flour that you could get had you cut five sit-in of barley. So then maybe Rabbi Chanina segan akonim would say that not like Rabbi Shmuel, that you have to send out the full, you have to harvest the full amount so that you can improve the korban as best you can. So maybe you'd agree on that level. Maybe Rabbi Shmuel does not agree with Rabbi Chanina segan akonim. So now the Gemara makes a third attempt to line up Rabbi Shmuel with some other existing shita. Elo amar Ravashi, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yosi amar davar echad. Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yosi are actually in agreement with each other. Ditnan bein shenir ba'alil bein shalonir ba'alil. When it comes to being mekadish the chodesh al pi ariya, so what happens if the moon is so clearly there? It's such an obvious new moon that the whole world is going to see it. So it's Shabbos. Should you be mechal Shabbos to go travel to be made in Beis Din when obviously somebody else is going to come because the whole world can see it? It's obvious you're not the only one that saw it. So bein shenir ba'alil bein shalonir ba'alil. Whether it's clearly visible or not clearly visible. Mechal in love of Shabbos. The Tanakhama says you still mechal Shabbos for it. But Rabbi Yosi Omer im nir ba'aliyah lein mechal in love of Shabbos. If it's clearly evident and visible, then you're not mechal Shabbos for it. So that lines up with Rabbi Shmuel. Milo am Rabbi Yosi asam kivin daf shalot tarchinan. Rabbi Yosi, what's behind Rabbi Yosi's shita? That if it's possible to avoid chil Shabbos, avoid chil Shabbos. Hachanami kivin daf shalot tarchinan. Exactly like Rabbi Shmuel says that you should take three sitin of barley, not five, because if it's possible to avoid Chil Shabbos, you avoid Chil Shabbos. So says Gemara, no, that doesn't line up either. Maybe the reason Rabbi Shmuel says to avoid Chil Shabbos over here is there are going to be no long-term negative ramifications of his psak. But by telling Edom not to come to Beis Din when they see the new moon, that's going to cause disastrous consequences for the future. Because later on, in other months, when maybe it's not quite as clear, they're also going to say, why bother coming? It doesn't. They don't need me anyway. Probably there'll be other people, and then we're going to mess up. We're not going to have sufficient Edom to actually make Rosh Chodesh when it should be made. Same with Rabban and Svirlin. Maybe Rabbi Shmuel in Menachos would agree in Rosh Hashanah that the Edim do need to be Mechal Shabbos. Inami, or on the flip side, I'd call no come Rabbi Yossi Hassam, Ela Delekat Sarach Kavoa, Vlonit Neshabbos Lidchos. Maybe Rabbi Yossi would say, when the moon is very clear, the Edim don't have to come because you're not gaining anything by coming. The Rosh Chodesh is going to be established no matter what, because there are plenty of other people who are just as good to be edim. But over here, where it still is a tzorach kavoa to cut more grains, and therefore it's something that is worthy of being docha Shabbos, maybe Rabbi Yossi over there would agree with the Rabbanan over here, not with Rabbi Shmuel over here. Period. That's the first section of today's daf, where we try to line up Rabbi Shmuel Shita with different Tanaim throughout Shas. We had three possibilities. All three possibilities were rejected. Next, Itmar. Shachat Shtei Chaton Shel Tzibur. Now, once we're talking about Chil Shabbos and unnecessary Chil Shabbos, what if a person shechs two animals for a chatos of a carbon tzibur, veino tzarecha la'achas, but you really only needed one. So what's the halacha? Amar Rabbi Vitem Rabbi Yami, chayiv al shniyah, patar al rishona. You chayiv for Chil Shabbos for shechting the second one, you patar for Chil Shabbos for shechting the first one, because the first one was needed, the second one wasn't. Va'afilu nischaper lo b'shniyah, even if after shechting both you decided to use the second one for the carbon, still you're chayiv for the second one, not the first one, because the fact that you later decided to use the carbon doesn't change anything. Not only that, even if the first one turns out to be a weak animal and therefore not as nice of an animal to bring as a carbon, still you're going to be putter for the first one and chayiv for the second one. The Rashi explains it means you find a kusha before you shech the second one, and then you go out and you shech the second one, you chayiv. And we don't say that it's considered that you're shechting the second one beheter because of hakriveuna lefachasecha, that you can only bring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu what you would bring to your officers, what you would bring to your dignitaries. So one might have thought that therefore for shechting the second one you would be pater because you're being mekayim this pasuk of bringing the nicer animals. So that's what it's telling me, that no, even if it's Nimseh Shrishonu Kechusha, still you're chayiv for shechting the second one. That pasuk of HaKriveu Nalefach HaSecha teaches us a lot of different dinim. It teaches us the Chachila, you bring a carbon that's Shmeina V'lo Kechusha, like Rashi quotes over here. It teaches us that a carbon oaf, even though the mum doesn't passel it, because Tamos V'Zachros B'Behemavein, Tamos V'Zachros B'Ofos, but a Mechusar Ever passels by oaf as well, because you never bring that to your dignitaries. That's what Rashi writes in Zvachim on Daf Lamed Hayim Beis. It teaches us that a behema treifas pasul akrava because of hakriveuna. That a behema treifa you're not allowed to bring. That's what the Rambam writes in Yisroim Mizbeach Perek Beis Halach Yud. It teaches us that that mayim that's megula that was left exposed is pasul for nisach hamayim because you would never serve that. The Gemara in Sukkah Daf Nun, you would never serve that to a dignitary. It teaches us that you don't bring a carbon mincha in a kfifa mitzris in a lowly kind of basket, in an ugly basket, the Gemara in Sota Yudalar and Bey says, also because of Akriveyuna. So the Mikdash David just points out, and the Bir Alacha proves from here that the dinim that we learned from this pasuk must not be li'ikuva, they must not be dinim that are ma'akev, because it's pashut that a behema kusha that your makriv is not pasul. If you're makriv an animal, it's not the fattest, nicest animal, it's a little bit kachush. That's not pasul, it's certainly not ma'akev, and yet it's learned out from this pasuk. So says the Mikdash David, so you see, whatever we learn from this pasuk is not going to be a din li'ikuva, it's just going to be a din l'charchila. He says, that's why, that explains so much. That's why the Gemara has to darshin a pasuk to tell me that mechusar ever is pasul ba'of, even though Rashi says, anyway, it's a problem because of hakriveu na lefachasecha. Because if you just relied on Rashi's reason of hakriveu na, we wouldn't know that it's pasul, we would just know that it's inappropriate. You need a pasuk to tell me that it's pasul. Hakriveu na just tells me inappropriate, doesn't tell me pasul. We also find a drasha to pasul the treifa, even though the Rambam holds treifa is included in hakriveu na. Again, because from hakriveu na, you wouldn't know pasul. You would only know that it's inappropriate. But anyway, so back to the Gemara. So Rabbi said that you chayiv on the second one, not on the first one, even if the first one turns out to be kachush. So frankly, Gemara, miyom Rabbi hachi, does Rabbi really say that? Vaham, Rabbi, didn't Rabbi teach us the following? If you have two animals, one fat and one skinny, shachat shmein v'achach shachat chusha, chayiv. You shach the fat one first and then the skinny one, so you're obviously chayiv on the skinny one, the fat one one was perfectly viable to use as a karban. But chushavachach shmeina pater, but if you shech the weak one first and then the fat one, you're going to be pater, because there's reason to shech the fat one. It's a better karban. Not only that, we would even recommend to bring the shmeina lechadchila and go and shech it. Chacham Tzvi points out, look how seriously we take mitzvah min amuvchar. The chusha was a perfectly valid karban, and yet we say lechadchila go and be mechalal Shabbos and shech another animal for mitzvah min amuvchar, in order to be able to do mitzvah min amuvchar. So you see how seriously we take mitzvah min amuvchar. But anyway, it's a stira in Rabbah. So are you chayiv for shechting the shmeina, or are you not chayiv for shechting the shmeina? Says the Gemara, Yibay Yisei Masami Chusha Mikamaisa. Either take away Kusha from the original statement of Rabbah, Viva Yisema, he Rabbi Ami Amra, or maybe it was a statement of Rabbi Ami, not Rabbah. But you're right. According to Rabbah, clearly, you're allowed to shech the fat animal after you've already shechted the Kusha, because it's a better carbon to have the Shemena. What if you have the following situation? It turns out that the first one is Kachush B'Bnei Me'ayin. You find that inside, from the outside, it wasn't recognizable that it was Kachush. But on the inside, you later find that it was. So we're assuming now, had you known that it was kachush, pashut, you're allowed to shech the shmeina. We're assuming like Rabbah, you'd be allowed to shech the fat one. What if you didn't really know it was kachush, and then you shechted the fat one anyway? You didn't, but at the time you shechted, you didn't yet know that there was a problem with the first one. Are you now going to be chayav for the second one? Because in your mind, you're doing an avera. Do we go with your machshav, and you clearly had kavana le'isser, because at the time you shechted the second one, as far as you knew, the first one was perfectly fat. Or maybe no, we follow your actions, and the only animal that you had shechted happened to have been kachush. You just didn't know it, and therefore the mice of shechting this fat animal would be no problem. Now, this issue of kachush of nemei, Rashi says that mitchila it looks fat, and then you realize that it's not; it's kachush. Rambam understands it to mean though that the first one was found out to be a treifa after you shechted the second one, not just that it was kachush; that it was a treifa. We'll see that there might be differences between the two understandings of the Gemara in terms of how to explain the svaras. So anyway, so what's the halacha? Samarle lav hainu de Rabba v'Rava. Isn't this exactly lined up with Rabba and Rava's halacha? Dit mar shama shetavatina piyam. Let's say you heard someone screaming, "Oh, my baby's drowning! My baby's drowning!" Uparas masu de lahalos dagim, and it's Shabbos, and you put out your fish nets not to catch the baby, but to catch fish. You're just going fishing. You're ignoring the woman screaming, "My baby's drowning." Hella dogim and taka fish come up in your fishnet, chayiv, so you're chayiv for fishing. Lahalus dogim behella dogim vitinok, but if your intention was to catch fish and you were ignoring the lady, and sure enough, what turns up in your fishnet? The fish and the baby together with the fish. So Rava Amar chayiv, Varaba Amar Pater. Rava says you're chayiv because you went fishing on Shabbos. Rava says you're pater because you saved the baby's life. That act of putting out the net and picking it up was an act of pikuach nefesh. Vadkan Rava. When does Rabbi, even Rabbi says your pater is only because we assume that since you heard the lady screaming, you couldn't have ignored it totally. You must have had some intention in the back of your mind, a little bit at least, for the baby. But if you didn't even hear the woman screaming, and it's just you got lucky, you went fishing and you caught a baby, so and you saved the baby's life, so in that situation, certainly even Rabbi would agree that you're going to be chayiv, that you're not going to be pater. So what do you see? That I don't care what your that the maisa you did was a maisa heter. If you tried to do an iser, b'machshava was an iser, so it's an iser. So everyone would agree to that. V'ikadamri, others say no. Not that everyone, that even Rabbah would agree. We weren't trying to say that both Rava and Rabbah would agree that you're chayiv, but rather amalei hainu pluktayu de Rabba v'Rava. That's exactly the machlokas between Rabbah and Rava. Did mar shama shetavatinok biyam uperus mitzu dalalus dagim v'hela dagim chayiv lalus dagim v'hela tinok. Rabba Rampata, Rabba Machayev, the same thing we just read. Rabba Rampata, Zil Basar Maisav, Rabba Machayev, Zil Basar Machshavaso. And we don't take the analysis any further. We just say, yeah, Rabba says you're Pater because your act was an act of Heter, of Pikuach Nefesh. Rabba says you're Chayev because your thoughts were thoughts of Isser. And we don't say, oh, even Rabba would only say if, no, forget about it, you were ignoring the woman. It has nothing to do with what you heard, what you didn't hear. It's simply Machlokas, Rabba, Rabba, whether we go Basar the Machshava, or Basar, the Maisa. Now, all the Mefarshim ask the following question. Everyone asks the following question. the Torah really punishes you for thoughts alone? I mean, how could you say basa machshavasa azlinan? And as long as you intended to go fishing, so even though you caught a baby, you intended to go fishing, that it's going to be asur. Let's say a person has an intention to eat non-kosher food. As it turns out, the food that he ate wasn't chaylev, it was perfectly kosher food. See, chayv kares. No, just because he was trying to do an iser, he's pashut not chayev kares. The maisa that he did was not a maisa iser. That which we say that a woman who her husband is made for her nedarim and she doesn't know about it, that the Torah says she requires kapara and slicha, we learn out from the pasuk isha haferam v'asham yislachla. Her husband may have undone her nedarim, but if she didn't know about it and she violated what she thought were existing nedarim, so she needs slicha. The Gemara says when Rabbi Akiva read that pasuk, he would cry out, oh, look at that, someone who tried to do an iser and ended up not doing an iser needs kapar and slicha. Yeah, kapar and slicha is different than saying that they get the full onesh, that they're chayv misa, or that they're chayv whatever the onesh is, they're chayv amalkos. Kapara slicha, because she's a bad person, she tried to violate a neder, so she needs kapara slicha. But chayv, to say that because of a makshav, a guy just saved a baby's life, chayv, he's chayv for that act? Very hard to understand how that could be the case. So the Rishonim and Achronim work on this issue. Shita Kvetza says, Mi'ikra din shchita sakhusha would have really been kosher. You're only shechting the Shemena for the mitzvah min amuvchar. That's why you're chayiv on the shchita of the Shemena. Because when you're shechting the Shemena, it's a mitzvah, the whole mitzvah is only because of mitzvah min amuvchar. Mitzvah min amuvchar doesn't make any sense when you're trying to do an Avera. Mitzvah min amuvchar is only if you're really trying to be extra frum, not when you're trying to do an Avera. The Rashash and the Chazanish say that there's a difference between when the act that you're doing is heter gomer, or it's an iser that's nidcha because of pikuach nefesh. So he says, when it's an act that's heter gomer, I'm eating a piece of kosher meat, that's heter gomer, even though I think it's not kosher, but it's mamish heter gomer, so then there's no onesh. But if I'm doing something that be'etzem is a malacha, it's just that it's nidcha for Shabbos, or nidcha for whatever reason, so then then you can be punished on the machshava as well. The one case the Gemara does not mention, by the way, with the baby, is if you're miskavin lahalos dagim and you only catch a baby, you don't catch fish. The case the Gemara mentions where you catch baby and fish. L'chora, even in that case, it would be machlokas rabba and rava, whether you go basu machshava or not. But the Birka Yosef Sasema say that no, in that case, everyone would agree you're pater, because they only argue if you thought to do iser and you accomplished the iser as well as accomplishing dvar heter. But that's where there's a machlokas. But if all you've accomplished is the heter, you didn't even accomplish any sort of iser, then maybe everyone would agree. Fine, weiter. Amar Rabba, chol shamdu l'grogros achas, v'rotzu asar b'nei adam ve'yviu asar grogros. A guy is sick and he needs medical attention, and 10 atzala guys get in their cars, and they all drive to him, and they all come running. So everyone violates Shabbos in order to, but only one was really needed. You only needed one guy to bring him a grogros of food. So bas achas p'turin, they're all pater, afil b'zachazeh, even one coming right after the other, because at the time that each of them was being Mechal Shabbos, they thought their work was necessary. Even if the first guy already made him better, the other guys are not in violation of Chol Shabbos. Boy Rava, a chola needs two dried figs. Now, there happen to be two dried figs attached by two different stems to the ground, to the tree. So can you, or there are three dried figs attached by one stem. So should you cut the one stem that has the three dried figs? How are dried figs attached? How are they dried if they're attached? So it probably just means the shear. You need this amount of food. So he needs to eat an apple. So there are two little apples, and there's one very big apple. So shouldn't you take the one very big apple off the tree, or the two little ones? So shtayim ma'asim the chazulei, or duma sholosh ma'asim the kamei tzira. Should you bring the two because that's all he needs, or should you bring the three because that will be less of a chil Shabbos? Says more pshita sholosh ma'asim. Of course, you'd bring the three in that case. That kan lokam Rabbi Shmuel Hassam ela dechi me'mayit ba'achila kamei'mayit tzira. The Rabbi Shmuel only says in our Mishnah that because you're saving chil Shabbos by doing less tzira, so you only bring three in instead of five. Aval hach dechi but over here, by doing the just what's needed for the achila, you're going to be doing more ktsira. Vaday shalosh meisina. Then for sure you don't do that. That's ridiculous. Why would you do more chilul Shabbos? Fine. Vayter Mishnah mitzvah saomer lahavi min hakarav. You have to bring the grains of the carbon omer from areas near the Beis Hamikdash. Lo biker hakarav liYerushalayim mevinos amikal makom. If the fields near Yerushalayim are not yet ripened, so then you bring it from somewhere else. Meisah shba omer mi Gagos Trifin v'shteilechem bikas ein socher. And once we even brought the carbon omer from a place called Gagos Trifin and the shteilechem from a place called bikas ein socher, which are both very far away from Yerushalayim. So my time, why do you have to bring the carbon omer from that which is close to Yerushalayim? Iba yisem mishum Carmel, either because there's a requirement the Torah says of Carmel, which we assume is a combination of two words, of rach and malay, that the tevua, the grain, has to be soft, and when it's exposed to traveling and a lot of winds, through the traveling it's going to harden, therefore it needs to be from somewhere near Yerushalayim. Or much more simple, that if you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, you're not allowed to pass by that mitzvah. So that's a major topic in halacha. When we apply Ein Mavir Nal Mitzvos, what's the difference between Ein Mavir Nal Mitzvos and Zrizim Akdim Nal Mitzvos and Mitzvah Bal Yado Atach Mitzvah, all these different concepts that we have in halacha. Rav Asher Weiss has a nice piece on it. My brother has a sefer pretty much on that topic, on the Siach B'chukecha. Okay, maybe we'll see if we can come back to that. Let's try to finish first. Ma'isa Shema Omer Migagos Trifin. So the story was they once brought the Omer from Gagos Trifin. Tan Rabbanu Kishetzarchu Malchi Beis Chashmonai Zal Zeh. When the Malchi Beis Chashmonai, there was a dispute between two Chashmonai kings who were brothers, and you know, that as often happens, and they were fighting against each other. Vayuhorkenes Mibechutz V'Istarvolus Mibefnim. Horkenes captured the area outside of Yerushalayim. Istarvolus was inside. So each and every day they would send out a little bit of money over the walls of Yerushalayim, and the people on the other side would send them animals to bring as a carbon tamid. There was one zakein who knew chachmas yivanis, which was like a special kind of sign language apparently, laws them chachmas yivanis, and he told them in chachmas yivanis as follows. The more you help them do the avoda, the less chance you're going to have of defeating these people. You're not going to capture Yerushalayim if you're aiding them in doing the avoda. So the machar shishlan dinar and bekupa. So the next day when they sent the money out over the wall, vehulam chazir, they sent back a pig instead of sending back animals for a carbon tamid. Kivin sheigil lechatzi choma, when the pig got halfway up the wall, notzi part of bechoma dug its nails into the wall. Vinizdaza Eretz Yisrael Abrameos Parsa al Abrameos Parsa. And Eretz Yisrael shook. There was an earthquake on 400 parcels by 400 parcels of land in Eretz Yisrael. Bosasha Amru, and at that moment they said, Arushay Gadal Chazir, Va'arushay Lamid Bino, Chachmas Yivanis. Cursed is one as Megadal Chazir, and cursed is one who teaches his child, Chachmas Yivanis. Look at the damage it did. Val Osasha Shaninu, now it happened to be in that context. Why are we mentioning this whole story? Because it was in that context that the carbon omer was brought from this place called Gagos Strifin, and the Shteilechem was brought from Bikasein Socher, because it was at that Tkufa in history that Maisa Shaba Omer Migal Strifin Shteilechem Bikasein Socher. What were the stories? Kimata Omer, when it came time to bring the carbon omer, lo aviyad mehechaisi, they didn't know where to bring the carbon omer from mehechaisi omer. Achruzu, so they announced, look, we don't know where to get grain for the carbon omer. Asu chasha, so certain deaf mute came. Osuf chadu yadai igra v'chadu yadai atzrifa, and he wanted a signal to them where they can get grain from. So he put one hand on the roof and one hand on a hut. Amr lahu Mordechai, so Mordechai said, Mordechai was there, and he interpreted what the man was saying. He says, Mi ikadukta dishma gagos strifin o strifin gagos? Roof, hut, okay, he's going to charade. Is there a place called gagos strifin o strifin gagos? So bat kavash kuh, sure enough, they found that there was such a place, called gagos strifin, and that's where they got the carbon omer. Who's Mordechai? So Rashi says, that's Mordechai. Mordechai from the days of Achashverosh, our Mordechai, our hero. Says Tosos v'temahu lomar sherech yom kolkach. This was over 200 years after the Purim story. So a little bit hard to say that he was still around. V'nira al shem Mordechai arishon hayinukraim hamunim al shmo l'fi she'enam mimanim el b'kiyim bali seichel amada. It must be that people in this position of authority were all called the Mordechai as a way of showing that, that, you know, as a cover to the original Mordechai, and showing that only people of great seichel were appointed to this position. Here you see the demonstration in this Gemara is what seichel he had, that he was able to figure out this whole maisa. So kibay lasuyi shteilechem, when they wanted to bring the shteilechem, lo aviyadim hech lasuyi, they didn't know where they could bring the shteilechem from. So achrazu, they made an announcement, we need to bring the shteilechem, we have no idea where to bring it from. Asu gavr charsha, again, the deaf man, same deaf man comes, osuv yadei ha'enei v'chad yada asichra. He puts one hand on his eyes and one hand on the holes where they would attach the door. They didn't have typical hinges. It was like a socket that they would stick the door into. So Amar Lehu Mordechai, Umi Ika Duchta Deshma Ein Socher or Socher Ayin. He said, is there a place called Ein Socher or Socher Ayin? Batka Vashchu. And sure enough, they found that there was such a place called Ein Socher or Socher Ayin. So just a word about Ein Mavir Nala Mitzvos. The Gemara Masechta Sota tells us, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lamanu Kibul Schar Me Almana, Maisa Ma Almana Acha. We learn a valuable lesson from an almana, because there was a maisa with an almana that had a beis hakneses b'shchunasa, that had a shul in her neighborhood, and she would always come to daven by the beis medrash of Rabbi Yochanan instead. So Rabbi Yochanan said to her, Biti, hari yesh beis hakneses b'shchunaseich, you have a beis hakneses in your own neighborhood, why are you schlepping all the way here? So she said, Rebbe, v'lo schar psios yeshli? What do you mean, why am I schlepping here? Schar psios, look how much schar I get for walking. So the Magen Avraham and Orchaim and Simon Sadi Sivkat Mechav Beis says, if you have two shuls in your town, one's next door to your house, the other one's across town, go to the one that's across town, Schar Psios, based on the story of this woman. So all the Achronim ask the obvious kasha. Our Gemara says, if there are fields near Yerushalayim from which you can get the Karban Omer, or there are fields far away from Yerushalayim where, that will take a much longer walk, you have to bring from the Karov because of Ein Ma'avirin Ala Mitzvos. And here this woman is saying the opposite, and Magen Avraham is paskening it. Then, nah, forget about that which is close. Go further away! Schar Psios! So how do you answer this? So several answers are brought in the Achronim. Tshuva's Zichron Yehuda says that over here the Ikra Kavana is that by bringing from the Karov, you'll be able to get there earlier. You're gonna do the mitzvah earlier. Over there, davening starts at 9 o'clock in both shuls. It's just a question. Let's assume davening starts at 8:30 in both shuls. It's just a question of when you're going to leave your house. It's not a question of when you're going to do the mitzvah. So if it's just a question of if you're going to wake up a little earlier to show a little more effort, then you get schar psios. But if you have an opportunity to do the mitzvah actually earlier, then there's no such thing as schar psios. Many, many other answers in the Achronim, but we are out of time. So, it's Hashem. We'll pick up tomorrow.